My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast. Revelation 21, verse 10, John writes, "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Verse 22. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb was the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever maketh abomination, or worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." In Psalm 90 and verse 17, the Bible reminds us to let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. To consider the eternal destiny of man in light of a heavenly home, the beauty of the Lord is indeed upon us. Heaven. We sing a lot of hymns about heaven. Let us think about the beauty of a heavenly home. Not everyone that will pass away, my friends, will go to heaven. Although we serve a loving and merciful God, we understand from Romans 11 and verse 22 that we must behold His goodness and His severity. As we consider how beautiful heaven must be, let's think for just a moment of that wonderful place called heaven. First of all, how beautiful heaven must be. Heaven is beautiful because of what is there. In John 14, verse 1, Jesus, in speaking to His apostles, said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." In John 14, 1-4, Jesus gives assurance to those apostles and assurance to us that He will return and take us back home with Him, if indeed we are ready and prepared. Heaven has been called a prepared place for prepared people. And as we read in our lesson text moments ago, we see some beautiful characteristics about heaven. In verses 11 and 23 of Revelation 21, we understand that heaven is lit by the glory of God. Imagine such a wonderful splendor. Our glory to God will enter in. We understand from Romans 8:18 when Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And our glory to God will enter in and see the glory of God that lightens that home called heaven. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, John writes earlier and says, "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And so as we see the beauty of glory, and how heaven is lit by the glory of God, we can only imagine such a wonderful splendor. But secondly, we also note that the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb is the temple thereof, verse 22. No longer will we worship the Almighty in man-made structures, but in a completed, God-finished structure. And to note that we will be able to be there with them in that presence truly makes heaven worth it all. Let's also consider, too, the dimensions and the materials that are mentioned here. We will admit these are things that are hard to utter, hard really to imagine in some cases. Dear friends, Revelation is a book that is written in a figurative language. As we read the figurative language therein, it just explains the beauty. And a book that is not to be taken literal at every turn, but to look at it in a general sense of the beauty of heaven and how it is figuratively written. The description of its size and human understanding as we read is massive and beautiful. Yet God will exceed what we can even ask or even think. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us." We are reminded in Isaiah 55:8-9 that the thoughts of God are not our thoughts, neither are his ways our ways. "For as the heavens are as high as the earth, so are the thoughts of God and the ways of God more than ours." It is interesting to note just a few things from verse 16 of Revelation 21. The Old King James uses the word furlongs. A furlong in measurement is about an eighth of a mile. So if you were to take the length times the breadth, you would look and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. You're looking at 1,500 miles. What an unbelievable size. Now, with Revelation being a figuratively written book, does that mean that heaven is literally 1,500 miles square and high? Well, no. But we get an idea of its mass size. When you and I read of the 144 cubits, the measure of the wall, we're looking at 216 feet. What a great thickness, an idea of protection, if you will, from sin and from wrongdoing. A length, breadth, and height of 1,500 miles? Oh my, what a great size. The great and high wall grants protection with the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles that are listed. This is a symbol of complete salvation under any covenant. The foundation of the wall is 12 precious stones and precious gates as pearls. We understand that heaven is a completed place for people who have completed their faithful journey to God. It is a beautiful description. It's a home that will see to our needs and that we can enjoy for eternity. Recently, I had a young couple share with me, as they were looking for a house, that the houses sure do look different in person than they do in the picture. Well, obviously, pictures are designed to gain an interest in the house. And as we look inside, maybe what that picture looked on the outside didn't quite look the same on the inside once we got in there. But as we can see a complete description of heaven, we know that it's everything God will have it to be. Heaven is a beautiful place because of what is there. But I submit to you, secondly, that heaven is a beautiful place because of what is not there. Our earthly bodies will not last forever, dear friend, but we do have a home in heaven that awaits the faithful. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. We know that this earthly tabernacle or our bodies will not last forever because it's the way that the physical body is made. However, when we pass away from this life, we want a life that is better than this. We want to see a home in heaven. Again, dear friends, not everyone that dies is going to heaven. We understand that Jesus distinctly explained in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, of the wide gate and the narrow way, How are you living today, dear friends, is what we need to consider. When we see in Revelation 21, verse 4, that the former things indeed are passed away, let's think about some of the things in heaven that we face here on earth that we will not have to face there. First of all, we understand that there will be no more death in heaven. God shall wipe away all tears, a thought of comfort. I had someone ask me recently, does one in heaven or one in the resting place of the saved look back and are saddened by what they see? Well, my friends, we know that people do have a remembrance of the life before, especially in the torments, as we read in Luke 16 with the rich man. But I believe in understanding the Bible that God will be able to wipe away all tears, and if that were to happen, God will grant us comfort and see to our needs there. We understand there is no more death in heaven. Death is a separation of the spirit from the body, James chapter 2 and 3. There will be no more funeral homes in heaven. While I am grateful for the funeral homes in our area and the kind and good work that they do, there will come a day in heaven where there will be no more funeral homes. There will be no more sorrow, a mourning, a heartache, a pain that endures after the loss of a loved one. It won't be there. There will be no more crying or wailing, a broken heart that just cries out for help and for strength. There will be no more pain. There will be no more misery, no more ailments, no more doctor's offices, no more cancer treatments. There will be no night there. You know, that takes away the loneliness that a person may have. I've had people share with me how when they've lost a loved one and they're lonely, the days are long, but the nights are even longer. There will be nothing that will defile in heaven. They are passed away. These things will be gone, and we'll never have to deal with them again. Heaven is beautiful because of what is not there, dear friends. And the question that I would ask is, how can anyone not desire heaven and its beauty? Regrettably, again, there are those who will not be in that beautiful home of heaven. Those who do not obey God, who are not Christians, will not have that heavenly home. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8 reminds us of the vengeance and flaming fire that will be taken upon them. Dear friend, are you ready, therefore, to obey the gospel of Christ to have that home in heaven? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? If you do, are you willing to repent of your sins? That means turn away and turn toward God. Are you willing to confess Him before men as the Son of God and then be buried with Him in the waters of baptism for those sins to be washed away? Acts 22:16. In answer to the command thereof of Matthew 28:19-20, and the teaching thereof in Acts 2, verse 38, Acts 22:16, and 1 Peter 3:21. There will also be those not in heaven who err from the truth. James 5, verse 19 reminds us, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins." My friends, there are those who err from the truth. Yes, people can leave the church and leave a Christian life and be lost. Hebrews 3:12 reminds us, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Are you ready to come home in order to have an eternal home? Are you ready to begin life anew again?